Today's reading is taken from Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much as this in the present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the word of the Lord.
You have an outline. If you have a look there somewhere, it's also got the Bible reading on the back there. So you can refer to the Bible reading as well, hopefully as I'm speaking. And you'll see there's lots of space on the outline, and the idea is you fill that up by writing notes. So do that if you would like to. And actually, we've got a bonus today. We've got a bonus reading. I'm going to read just verses 1 to 5 of James 2. "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here is a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him?" Well, I knew a vicar once who invited a friend of his to dress up as a tramp in a really old smelly coat. And this guy, he grew his beard sort of long and rather tattered, and he sort of stuck something rather revolting on his beard as well. He rather got into the part, I have to say. And this vicar said to his friend, "You know, come along to my church and we'll see what happened." So he came in with his old tramp coat and came in and sat down and put his foot on the chair in front. Now, it doesn't really matter what happened in that church. What matters is what would happen if he came into our church and did that. What would we do? I think actually we'd probably be okay. I think we would be quite welcoming, because actually things like that have happened quite a bit in the past in St. Francis. It's been a bit of a mark of our church actually that people have been able to come in. But that's a value that we want to keep alive in the life of our church, that we are welcoming. In fact, I think it's a sign of a live church that God sends people like that. He He trusts us with people who need our welcome. So we shouldn't be complacent about our welcome. And in this current series, Believing in Our Community, we're looking really at the core values of our church. What is our DNA? What really matters to us? And our second core value, you'll see it on the sheet there, is this. We aim to be a community of generous acceptance where all feel welcome, where the barriers of race, age, gender, and class fall. And you could probably add some other things as well that fall, that the barriers are broken down. To do that, we need to let go, first of all, of the me world. That's my first point this morning. We live in an increasingly compartmentalized society. We each construct our own little worlds. And, you know, there's sort of a this must fit me precisely sort of world. So we smooth out the rough edges of life and create a sort of bubble of our work and our leisure and our friendships and even our church where we feel comfortable. We design a world around ourselves, a private world where we can be comfortable. And the trouble is that sometimes that can involve us insulating ourselves from those who don't really fit with what our ideal life should be. And I think this has increasingly happened in our world as people have withdrawn from the public world into a sort of private world of their own. And so that's why people don't vote and why people don't get involved in our society, because they have their own private world that avoids the unsavory nature of the public world. But you know, the me world, where everything revolves around me and makes me comfortable, doesn't satisfy. It's too small. It's too claustrophobic. It isn't what life is about. Freddie Mercury earned millions as the lead singer of Queen. And he said this of himself: "Can you imagine how terrible it is when you've got everything and you're still desperately lonely?" And he said, "That is awful beyond words." It's really sad, that, isn't it? He had apparently everything, but was desperately lonely. And the me-focused world is desperately lacking. We need relationships, relationship with God and relationship with each other as well. Well, in our reading from Mark, we read about this young man. He's traditionally known as the rich young ruler. Mark's gospel tells us that he was rich, Luke tells us that he was a ruler, and Matthew tells us that he was young. So that's where we get the rich young ruler from. And it seems that this man had everything sorted out for him. He had his life in front of him. He had money. He had status. He had all he needed to make his comfortable world. Yet he knows that there's something missing. I think this man is a genuine seeker. Did you notice he runs to see Jesus? And there's an earnestness about him. He has a real openness to God and to Jesus. He wants to know more. And it says that Jesus looks at him and loves him. Jesus sees that in him too. And that this man has everything going for him, but to embrace the kingdom, he has to let go of certain things. He has to let go of the thing that gives him comfort, which in his case was money and status. He had to let go of that and take hold of God in his life. It's interesting that the passage before this one is about the story of when they brought little children to Jesus and the disciples sort of shooed them away, you know, take them away. And Jesus says, no, let them come, let them come. And then Jesus teaches them a little lesson from it. He says this: "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Entering the kingdom involves being childlike. It involves letting go of the things that hold us, bring us comfort, and trusting in God. That's what children do, isn't it? They trust in their parents. And that's what we have to do. Let go of things that bring us comfort and trust in God for our lives. Trust is the gateway. Faith in Jesus is the key to life. And so Jesus said to this rich young man who came to him, there's one thing you lack. The missing thing is this. Go sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. That was a mighty big ask, wasn't it? Don't you think? I think that's a big ask for us. For me, give up everything and follow me. It was a big ask. Verse 22, at this the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And I'm sure Jesus was really sad too. He loved that man. He saw his potential. He saw that that man needed the kingdom. He needed a relationship that would bring him life. And Jesus says again in verse 24, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And then Peter pipes up, well, we've left everything to follow you. He's sort of saying, well, you know, look at us. What are we going to get? In fact, it says that in Matthew's gospel. He actually says, you know, what are we going to get? We've left everything. Come on, what are we going to get for it? And Jesus, I'm sure Jesus felt just a little bit tired just at that moment when Peter said that. But Jesus said, verse 29, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. So notice that's in this life. We tend to think, oh, the reward's all in heaven. But actually, the reward is here as well. And where do we find these brothers and sisters and mothers and children? In the kingdom community. It is each other. That's what we gain. That's what we, the wonderful community that we become part of as part of the kingdom. So we let go of the me worlds, and we take hold of the kingdom world. But what is the kingdom? What does that mean? Well, what people often... Thank you, Simon. What people often think is that the church is just another of these sort of little private worlds that that we have. You know, a bit like the church is... I'll just wave a hand. Thank you, Simon. That's great. It's a bit like the church is the thing that other people have, like the golf club. You know, you go to church, I play golf. You're interested in Christianity, I do astronomy or run a charity or something like that. And what this view does is it pushes our world into a sort of private occupation. Pushes our church, rather, into a private occupation. So it's a thing on the side of the public world. And we see that pressure all around us, don't we? As the church makes any sort of comment or Christian person makes a comment about the world as a whole, people say, oh, well, that's just for the church. It's just for you and your little church on the side of society. And it's very easy for the church to collude with that and think that, you know, our church is just for Christians. It's a cozy fellowship for like-minded people where we can be comfortable. But our mission is not to build a church on the side of society. It's to discover and to see and embrace the kingdom, not the church. You see, the whole world belongs to the king, belongs to the kingdom. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not in the church, but on earth. It all belongs to Jesus. So that is how the world really is. The kingdom embraces everything. The glory of Jesus is out there in our community. The world belongs to him. And that's what we're becoming part of. We're not just in a little church on the side doing our little bit of church work. We're actually kingdom people to be out in the world where the glory of Christ is to spread into the world and where to pray the kingdom in. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And so that breaks down the walls of the church. The church building and the church organization are really just a sort of practical resource to help us be kingdom people throughout the world. They're not the aim, the church. It's just a resource for kingdom living. And so as much as possible, we need to imagine our church without any walls. And we need to remember that we are kingdom people out in the world. And that Jesus has gone out before us. So as we go out into the world each day of each week, we see what the King has already prepared for us to do and to be and to live. And when we let hold of that sort of little me world that we've been running in before, and we take hold of the big kingdom living world, you know, that's where the excitement is. And as we do so, we join together in this excitement with a whole kingdom people, brothers and sisters, fathers, mothers, children. And we're bonded together in this sort of sacrificial kingdom life. We're a loving community sold out for the world. And you know, that incredibly attractive love, as we're out in the kingdom, as we're being kingdom people, is what people will be attracted to. Love. By your love. By your love we shall be known. And of course, that's a lovely theory, but in fact, it's pretty difficult being kingdom people, isn't it? Because as we attract people amongst us and to be part of us, they will bring all sorts of challenges. After the first service, Sally Butcher came up to me and said how at St. Mark's they used to have homeless people come in during the middle of the service, and at the end of the service they found that they'd eaten all the biscuits. And so, and people are saying, well, what a cheek, they've eaten all our biscuits. But actually, that's what it's about, being kingdom people, isn't it? That was perfectly all right. And we will find, as people come and join us, that perhaps, I don't know, their children might not behave like our children do. Or, you know, they will come with different culture and different ideas and different values. And that's stretching, and that's difficult, it brings challenges. Yet as we give up the me world and as we live the kingdom world, we find that's where the real value is. That's where the real excitement is. And God is able to bless us in that. So my appeal this morning is simply, let's learn to knock down those barriers. In our lives, when we're out in the world, it's so easy just to mix with those that we know and to live in a cozy, private place. But God wants us to be out, open, looking for what he's doing, connecting with the people around us, sharing his love. And as people come into our church, let's be a church without barriers, welcoming them in, whatever the cost. And it will be costly. It won't be cozy. It'll be costly. But that's what we want to be, a people who are open, who are kingdom people, welcoming people to us. Our value again. We want to be a community of generous acceptance where all feel welcome and where barriers of race, age, and gender and class fall. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you for placing us in this city, in this place. We thank you for where we work, where we spend our family time, our leisure, where we spend our days. Lord, we thank you that you are Lord of those places and that you send us out to claim them for you. Lord, help us to have eyes to see what you are doing. Help us to be involved in your kingdom work. And Lord, in the places where we serve in our church life as well, that's kingdom work too. Help us to see what you're doing and to join in with it. Open our eyes, Lord.